Be sure with Pure. The Pure Oil Company again presents H.B. Kaltenborn. If you're an old-timer in motoring, you remember that the engine of the car you owned in 1910 was about twice as big as the one in your new 1941 model, yet it developed only half the horsepower. It wasn't until petroleum research developed the right kind of gasoline that the new, smaller, more powerful engines were practical. Now, Pure Oil's petroleum scientists have taken another forward step to keep the performance of your motor at its peak. They have developed an exclusive chemical combination to reduce excess carbon formation in your motor, to work as you drive to keep performance-spoiling, mileage-wasting excess carbon under control. This chemical combination is in every gallon of solvenized Pure Pep and solvenized Woco Pep gasoline at no extra cost. Try it. Get the latest results of scientific research for your benefit. And be sure with Pure. Now, Kaltenborn edits the news.
Good evening, everybody. There is no official announcement, but it appears quite definite tonight that the President will form a new Defense Council. It is to be composed of three men: Secretary of War Henry L. Stimson, Secretary of the Navy Frank Knox, Defense Production Coordinator William S. Knutson. The present Defense Commission will continue with coordination and similar tasks. But the real management will be in the hands of the three men I have mentioned, subject, of course, always to the control and direction of the President. Perhaps the most significant thing about this new super triumvirate is that it is composed of three Republicans working under a Democratic President. Here is a real piece of evidence that we have achieved national unity in the face of a crisis. A government spokesman said today that Knox, Stimson, and Knutson had cooperated closely in the past, and this cooperation may be made more formal in the future. Secretary of War Stimson confirmed at a press conference that a streamlined Defense Council is impending. He referred correspondence to a letter written on September 24, 1794, by George Washington. And that letter states that whenever one individual is competent to discharge a duty, it is worse executed by two persons and scarcely done at all by three or more men. I suppose, Mr. Stimson remarked after reading that letter, that this principle underlies the projected change. But obviously the logic of George Washington's letter would turn the job over to Mr. Knutson without the partnership of the two department heads. However, it is true that if it has to be a three-man team, the three selected by the President are likely to work well together. British purchasing agents have submitted a master list of $3 billion worth of new war orders to the American government. It includes about 12,000 combat planes. President Roosevelt has instructed the British to begin both negotiations for the purchase of this $3 billion worth of war material. Even though they are unable to pay for the materials, the actual placement of the orders will be withheld until Congress has acted on the new loan or lease plan for aid to Britain, which was just hinted at by the President 2 days ago, and which today seems already definitely underway. But no restrictions were placed on Britain's contracts for construction of 60 merchant ships in American shipyards. London has the cash for these vessels. The President suggests that the rest of the program be carried out on terms of a gentleman's agreement under which the British will repay the United States after the war. Now Congress meets again the first week in January, and presumably this whole plan will be brought before it shortly after that time. But by the President's action today, the preliminary work can go ahead, and there will be no delay, particularly in placing the orders for 12,000 additional planes. However, we all remember that placing orders is one thing, getting them delivered is quite another. Vincent Sheehan has made a first-hand study of half a dozen wars. He returned to America after getting a close-up on Hitler's air war against Britain. He summarizes the highlights of his conclusions in the current Saturday Evening Post. They are not optimistic. He believes the Germans have 20,000 fighting planes against Britain's 5,000. I checked with some British experts today. They tell me that 8,000 is closer to the real British figure. But even that gives the Germans better than 2-1. Add Italy's planes, and it's 3-1. The best plane the war has produced, according to Sheehan, is the Junkers 87B dive bomber. This is a single-motored monoplane, faster and more maneuverable than any other bomber. Anti-aircraft fire can't keep up with them. The Germans have only a few hundred, and they're saving them for the big push. If Sheehan is right, Britain will have to face enormous odds in the air when Hitler tries invasion this spring. This means that we may be asked to send over at least 1,000 of our own Army and Navy fighting planes to save the day. It is evident now that we can't build planes fast enough to help Britain meet the crisis that lies ahead. And if we are going to lend them war material, we will probably lend all the completed material that we can spare. Those who oppose aid to Britain are already anticipating that and are now launching a campaign, frightening Americans into believing that if they send anything more to Britain, they are going to be exposed to immediate attack here in the United States. Watch that campaign get underway. Sheehan's one optimistic statement is that with all of Hitler's bombing, he hasn't knocked out more than one-tenth of Britain's docks and factories. And the British scattered war production in such a way that there are duplicate plants producing all important war items. This means that production can be reduced, but not stopped. The British tell me they have always bombed specific objectives while the Nazis have bombed towns. This, they say, has enabled them to do more damage to German war plants than the Germans have done to them. They have also learned how to make needed repairs quickly. The only important delays have been due to interruptions in the power supply. The best evidence of rising war material production in England is the increase from a basic 100 in August to 133 in October. This means that despite incessant bombing, Britain increased production by one-third in the 3 months, covering the heaviest attacks. The Vichy Council of Ministers met for 2 hours late today after Fernand de Brino, French diplomatic emissary, returned here from Paris. I said French diplomatic emissary. In reality, de Brino, who is of the same stripe as Laval and strongly pro-German, is really the emissary of Otto Abetz, who represents Hitler in Paris. De Brino conferred with Marshal Henri Pétain and Paul Baudouin, his aide, but got little satisfaction. It looks more and more as though Pétain were determined to govern France in fact as well as name. The minister's meeting was held at the apartment of Pierre Flandin, foreign minister, who has been ill of the grip. This is the first time Flandin has participated in a council of ministers since Laval was ousted. The meeting must have been important. It may have discussed a new German ultimatum. The crisis over Laval's dismissal is by no means over. The Germans are applying renewed pressure to Pétain to get what they want. Important decisions may have been made at today's meeting. There is one possibility that must be kept in mind. Pétain and the few ministers who agree with him may decide either to resign or to move the French government to North Africa out of German reach. They might be able to get better terms from Hitler, from Africa, with 500,000 French soldiers at their back, than they can get from Vichy, where they are helpless. Military observers in Rome report that Italy's North African forces intend to make a last man stand at Tobruk. This is the naval and air base, some 80 miles from the Egyptian frontier in Libya. That is, if the British continue their offensive in Libya. Tobruk is the next logical objective. There is a good harbor at Bardia. Once the British capture it, they can supply their troops from Alexandria by sea. But the defenses of Tobruk, an important Italian supply base, have been greatly strengthened during the past week. And from now on, the British Navy cannot help the British by shelling the Italians from the sea. Beyond Bardia, the coastal waters are too shallow. There is, therefore, bound to be a pause in the British attack once Bardia falls. It is very likely to fall within perhaps 48 hours. Prime Minister Winston Churchill told the House of Commons today the British Imperial forces strongly attacking this Italian base indicate that its capture is expected soon. We are attacking the fort and town with strong and increasing forces, indicating that the British are now bringing up more reinforcements for the attack on the Italians. Mr. Churchill announced that 30,000 prisoners is an understatement. One whole Italian division surrendered to a far inferior force. And then Mr. Churchill added, one cannot say that the Italians have shown a high fighting spirit or quality in this battle, but perhaps their hearts are not in their work. Well, one might ask, why should Italian hearts be in the work of attacking Britain, who ever since Italy has been unified as a nation, has stood by United Italy? Italy and Britain have been friends for many years, up to the time that Mussolini decided to cast his lot with the minor end of an axis that is already bending and likely to break before long. Churchill reports that British victories in Africa were won with a very small sacrifice. 72 British soldiers killed, 738 wounded in operations up to last Monday. This indicates definitely that so far the Italian army has refused to fight. Responsible Italian quarters tonight again deny that German troops are pouring into Italy. However, it is perfectly evident from the variety of sources from which this news has come that a certain number of German soldiers are moving into Italy. And why? Well, they may have come for several reasons. But it is quite possible that they are intended to help Mussolini suppress a revolt by the Italian army. For such a revolt is not at all impossible. One more significant bit of news. The British Admiralty discovered in an Italian submarine orders to sink certain Spanish ships. The order was quite definite, applied to two Spanish companies. That indicates that Mussolini no longer has enough prestige with General Franco to send direct orders to him as to what Spanish ships are to do. It indicates that Spain is less afraid of Italy, more interested in trade with Britain. Good night.
Where do you buy your gasoline? No matter what station you stop at regularly, you can get good gasoline from any one of a number of companies. It not only costs you less per gallon than it did some years ago, but you can actually go farther on every gallon. This doesn't apply to Pure Oil's gasoline alone, but to a number of the leading brands. But Pure Oil's petroleum research gives you...